Alright, time for another DoNotGuide.com video presentation. So, I was going to talk a little bit about Danny Shine, because he had published the video of part of our conversation we had a couple of weeks ago, and apparently, the video is not up anymore, apparently. The fact is, Danny's really not been very public about this trauma of, having a cancerous lump removed from his neck and, medical crisis, if you want to call it that, and just how difficult, this is as a thing for people to mush through psychologically. Having this real, the sword of Damocles is getting closer. And it's, worse than mosquitoes. It's really bad, frankly, to be, as a circumstance. Now, obviously, we can, do all kinds of things playing with our brains to try to evade the reality we're in. But your brain does figure out how to, jab you with the truth. Ooh. And so it's a struggle, no doubt. And I'm empathetic because, for about 10 years, once you're past 50, you start seeing that, it's getting close. Any day now, something, there's all kinds of stuff happens to people that age, and, you could be on the list, and it's just unpleasant to live with, absence of any sense of immunity. I mean, not that you ever have it, but, when you're young, it just doesn't seem... Oh, yeah, well, there's a 1 in 1,000 chance of something, let's just say, happening. And you just pretend, 1,000 rolls of the dice, I'm not going to, only one bad roll out of 1,000? Rolling dice is fun. But it gets gnarlier as the years pass and you've rolled a lot of dice. You recognize that... sooner or later, snake eyes, is coming for me. Anyway, I just wish people did make more videos about the experience of being murdered, by nature. And, it's just, it's awful psychologically, and then sometimes it's really, really, really awful physically. And there just isn't enough of that. On the internet, let's say, that reality. And, it is a difficult thing to be public with, when you're being viciously attacked. And, it's, I laugh because, what else are you going to do? It's just awful, terrible, horrible. And everybody tries to maintain their dignity, but it's bad. So anyway, I thought it was a nice, upbeat kind of conversation. Do the best you can with a bad circumstance, all that kind of stuff. Make whatever alphabet soup or something, whatever the cliches are. You got lemons, make your lemonade. Kind of crap. But it's just that human thing of, like I said, I identify with the circumstance, and I can't say I feel his pain, but the argument is that it scares me also, and such. So anyway, no point in talking about that, right? Okay, just can't see the video. But anyway, I guess a few people got to see it. Such. But like I said, it's Danny's business, not my business. I'm grateful that he wanted to include me, in his crisis. And I appreciate that. yeah, it was good. Anyway, so the rest of this video, I guess I'll just talk about all the crap that comes up, you know, with this other bullshit going on, and you know, there's been some people doing some talking about this Effelism and this originator of the theory and what a scoundrel he is. So first, it's really irrelevant, right? I mean, I made all these videos just making arguments about the nature of existence, and it's really, frankly, a scientific discussion about the mechanics of being one of these thinking, feeling machines. And we are, in fact, machines. We're just robots. We are programmed by an environment, and you know, just about, oh, that's right, just everything about you, okay, is just a consequence of a clock ticking through. And some clocks work well, and some have dirt and crud on them, and the gears don't fit quite right, and those clocks say some other kind of bullshit. So you can have a clean mental clock, or you can have a dirty mental clock. I mean, there's lots of ways to look at it in terms of, you know, what kind of nonsense was drilled into your brain, and, you know, what it's done to you, both on a personal level and on a philosophical level. Now, I'd say I had the benefit of doing both well. In terms of personality-wise, I think I have a very generous and nice personality. I'm always helpful in all circumstances to anyone, just about. It's just the truth. Nobody will ever be able to say, well, Gary didn't give me a good deal, because Gary always gives you a good deal. I'm a very nice person. Ask for the shirt off my back and I'll give it to you. It's just a fact. Unless you're just going to clean your windshield with it. This is too nice a shirt, frankly. I think I'd give this one to you. It's Brick Kitty. I mean, damn, too cool. That's another subject, you know, that somehow they've made me into some sort of animal molester, that I have to get some cheap thrills killing animals, or cats especially. So all these lies that are out there. So, you know, a bunch of these, whatever you want to call them, low wattage journalists have posted crap, and it's, you know, they're just gurgitating this Steve Godfrey horse shit, you know, all the quote mind nonsense. Pushing women downstairs and killing cats, and then they bring up that silly Holocaust crap. All right, now that I've said the word, let's just get that one out of the way. So I have described the Holocaust as one of the worst examples of human behavior in all of history, and pointed out how first they segregated the Jews, they labeled them, they disenfranchised them, you know, force them to live in a slum. Did ever they can, in terms of just showing that eventually they were going to kill them. But anyway, and then, you know, they have a final solution paper. It's an actual paper written about how, well, this, you know, camp idea, that's what the concentration camps were supposed to be, as camps for the Jews. So they were just separated from society, but it was like a retirement home. It's just so insidious. Anyway, that they would end up going to make super Jews, you know, because they've treated them terribly, and the only ones who will survive are going to be these super Jews. And, they can't let the super Jews loose. That's the final solution. And the final solution didn't mention certain things, and just mentioned the fact that, well, you know, if you can't work them to death and you can't starve them to death, then maybe find a staircase you can accidentally have, put a banana peel on, and have a happy accident. And that's what it was. Okay, those are the facts. So the fact is, millions of Jews were killed viciously, horribly, slowly, miserably, awfully, just the worst possible way you can grind, suck the blood out of them, the worst possible ways, diseases, all kinds of horrible conditions, just awful. Couldn't really be described much worse as a meat grinder, as a Jew grinder. All right. So me saying that isn't enough. So, you know, you're a Holocaust denier if you don't say some of this other crap that has to be said. So it's not saying enough to say it was ignorant bigotry. It was a horrible crime against our intelligence and decency. It was psychotic murder, okay, because the bigotry was so stupid. Just as cruel and awful and dumb as you can get. And that's not good enough. That makes you a Jew hater. So, again, that's how insidiously putrid it is having interaction with other humans. It's the fact that they could characterize me as somehow having, I've never in my life had an anti-Jewish thought. I've never bigotried against a Jew in any way whatsoever. My very name is actually sounds Jewish, and there's been lots of people who have thought I was Jewish, and I was perfectly comfortable with that. And yet they're going to try, okay, to bend what I've said into some sort of blanket statement that I don't think the Holocaust happened. No, I don't think certain actions happened. I don't think certain things happened. They're part of the, you must believe narrative, okay? But it doesn't mean I don't think it was a Holocaust. I don't think it was pointed directly at Jews, and the and that it was an obscenity. Okay, so none of that. So anyway, that's just how ridiculous this world is that this is a forbidden subject. You are not allowed to have a rational conversation about what the truth is, because if you do that, you're somehow denying the testimony of some victim, you know. But the truth is the truth. And I'm going to say that the truth should be defended. It just doesn't fit. Some of the story doesn't fit the evidence. Just a fact. But all of the story about the cause, okay, the intents, and the magnitude of the horror, none of that changes. And that doesn't matter to them. That's the part that's so ridiculous. Recognizing the crime and the magnitude of the horror isn't good enough. All right. So enough said on that fucking subject. I mean, it almost inspires a kind of, what the fuck? I mean, you're going to try to label me as the criminal here? I mean, I'm going to take that as offensive, frankly. So, it really is disgusting that people will cheat the truth and attempt to label me the exact opposite of what I am. So that brings up the cat thing. So I have pointed out that cats don't have a real interesting agenda, okay? They don't knit anything, they don't garden, they don't do anything to advance the future at all. They don't do any, laboratory experiments that are really critical. None of that takes place. I've made the simple argument that if your cat is on a surgery and it's just about dead, sentient-wise, don't wake it up. You're not doing it a favor. It's now dead in the sense that now it died by just going to sleep and everything is fine and good, and now you're just going to wake it up so it can die of a horrible disease. Now, why would you do that? The cat doesn't have anything to get done. I mean, realistically, its agenda was lick paw, suck balls. I mean, it was going to just, its agenda wasn't going to be some kind of spectacular event. It's not missing out on anything, okay? It doesn't have a political world. It doesn't have anything. It has ball of yarn and sleepy chair. it really isn't a life that is urgently necessary to drag it out of peace and quiet to live. All right, so I'm just saying it's a practical matter. I'm saying that's the absolute truth. You cannot possibly harm a cat by not waking it up. Okay, just not possible. And there's every probability that you will harm it by waking it up. So in a circumstance where a cat is homeless and aged, okay, it's not a young cat, it's 12 years old, what's the right thing to do? A graceful put to sleep, or life in a cage in a shelter for 3 months and then death? What's the right thing to do from your moronic, imbecilic, sicko, crazy theory? Okay, and so my crazy theory is you're doing the animal a huge favor by sparing it homelessness. Okay, it doesn't need that experience. Okay, it doesn't need to do that. And it doesn't need to die of some stupid disease. So it's all win-win, okay, if it just gets a graceful exit. Ugh. So because I said that, I'm a cat killer. I think killing cats is fun or something. So it's just such a huge lie. So let's understand, I have spent 40 years of my life caring for cats, 20 years feeding them, feral cats, and 20 years being a vet for a ton of cats. You know, there was a person had at one time 40 cats, even to the extent where, you know, one of them was grabbed by a hawk or a owl, I don't know which one, and it had this thing on its neck that didn't heal. So for 2 months it had a wound on its neck and it just never healed. And so without any anesthesia, so I had to be a real cat whisperer, you know, to be able to do this, without any calming agent injected into the cat, I was able to pull a 2-inch talon out of its neck, you know, that you couldn't see because it was completely embedded. So, you know, this isn't a person who hates cats. This isn't a person who doesn't have empathy for animals. And it's just disgusting that these pieces of human garbage would attempt to characterize me as something other than completely empathetic. As a kid, I used to deliver newspapers, and if there was an animal run over on the street, when I was done delivering my papers, I had a plastic bag I always had in my bag for newspapers, and I would take the animal home and bury it. You know, fuck you people. Anyway, okay, next subject. Child molesting. So they've somehow made me a person who advocates or defends people molesting children, when I've of course argued that no, that's not right. You can't do that. Adults can't play sex games with children, okay? It's against the law for a good reason, because you're going to screw up the maturation of somebody's sexual identity. Now, the catch is that there are people who have been screwed up, not necessarily by molesting by an individual, but molesting by culture, or, you know, daddy treated them harshly or some kind of bullshit, and they can't enjoy their own sexuality. So there's a ton of people that have some kind of sexual dysfunction in the sense that they're not satisfied with their sexual experience. And I can empathize with that from the sense that I have perfectly enjoyed my sexuality. It made no difference to me what my preferences were, because the fact is, sex is something you do in your own imagination anyway. Always. It's always some imagined something. You're always... The event isn't the event. The event is some fulfillment of a blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all this other bullshit. The physical act itself is completely dependent on the right psychological attitude. And that's all it is. And I can't say there's ever been a day I felt sexually incomplete or some kind of bullshit like that. So anyway, so yes, I have empathy for how much worse my life would be if I didn't have that to fall back on in terms of a distraction, a good movie to watch, it's sort of like that. It's sort of like taking movies out of your life, and you're going to feel the absence. So there's lots of people with dysfunctions, men who want to be women, women who want to be men, blah, 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 squirrels, all kinds of stuff. And then there are people, who are inappropriately, it's just a fact, socially it's inappropriate, attracted, both in some psychological way or in some just visual signal way. They find youth, inappropriate amounts of youth, sexually arousing or appealing. And clearly that would be, I empathize with somebody who would have that condition because, yes, you're left with the fact that you can't really act out your fantasies. You have to just maintain them as fantasies. And so it's a difficult kind of a pain in the ass kind of way to have to exist in your life that you can't really be completed, to use a movie phrase. But tough is the simple answer to that. Sorry, but yeah, it's not the kid's fault, so you don't have a right to take it out on them, so to speak, that you need them. You needing them isn't an excuse to take from them. So that would be a simple way to understand the violation. And you are taking their entire future from them. You're going to decide their destiny in a way. And this does happen. I mean, there's kids who've been kidnapped by molesters and then they become molesters. It's just not good. So the argument is that I have empathy for the condition. I don't think they're evil people, blah, blah, blah. Having a thought that arouses you that is inappropriate does not make you evil. Acting on it makes you evil, Acting on it makes you bad. So the fact that they would be arrogant enough to cross the line and take advantage, especially in the egregious cases, you can't do that. And so my simple argument is that as I understand human psychology, frankly, it is just about allowing them to create enough of a fantasy, a dream that's real enough to be gratified. And so if you can give them some AI version, some artificial synthetic version, sure, do it. If you can make a doll that'll do it, make the dolls. And if there's old porn that's already been made, it's already out, it already exists, and if you get the permission of the victim in the bad video, there's no point in burning it, If it will satisfy someone sexually, then I say good, harmless. Much better than leaving them unsatisfied. All right. So that's the simple argument. Now, certainly there may be cases where people, feed on something and they need more and more and more and all that kind of crap. But I think there's just as many cases where you can ease and placate their desire by giving them just enough of a tangible experience, so to speak. Not with a real child, but with the idea of one. And so that's my argument. Is that so crazy and silly? And so somehow I'm suggesting the law be changed? No. So all of this came up because I actually made a video opposing somebody who was suggesting the law of consent should be reduced. That you should, you know, instead of 16, it should be 11 or something. And I said, bullshit. So that's how the subject came up, is I was actually arguing that there should be stricter laws and that anyone making pornography should get the death penalty even. Nope, I don't have a problem with that. So, I mean, making child molesting pornography. Okay, so all the new stuff would be a death penalty offense, and I'm just arguing, yeah, let the old stuff be the only stuff, okay, that ever needs to exist. But if you keep burning it, then you need, you know, there's going to be a market to make more then. Okay, so you're just asking for trouble. You're making it a commodity, and a commodity people will pay a high price for. So you're doing nothing constructive for the cause of prevention. Okay, so I'm totally for preventing, and it's just a lie. It's just like me saying that if they let current cigarette smokers live their life smoking cigarettes, and they made it a death penalty offense to give a cigarette to a minor, somehow you're pro-smoking. No, you're not. Yeah, no, that's bullshit. All right. So that's a lot of the subjects. So let's see what else I can... So anyway, this whole CP thing, child porn, you know, like somehow I'm pro-molestation when clearly I'm not. I'm just recognizing the people who are inclined to need that kind of outlet are not intrinsically evil. And they need your empathy, not your, let's just ignore the subject. Yeah, they don't need that. They need their, they need to be understood, and they need to be, you know, and you need a real solution to their problem. And you don't have any of that. You're not even trying to find that. And that's what makes the whole subject disgusting. Anyway. So, I'll be back. Alright, back. So, in a video, we're talking about feminism. And, life. What it means to be alive and all that kind of stuff. And then relationships between men and women. Okay, so I made a point of saying that if a woman did X, Y, Z, I'd push her downstairs. You know, I'd do whatever I had to do, okay, to cause an abortion. Okay, so if she in some deceptive way was having my child, I would feel as passionately as if she had raped my child. It would be the same thing to me, because I think creating life is just as bad as, it's just as big an event as ending someone's life. So if you decide you have cause to end somebody's life, there's just as good a magnitude of importance to creating a life. Because frankly, creating a life is murdering somebody. Just a fact, you're going to murder your child. You've already contracted with nature to kill your kid. Just a fact, in some usually brutal way. So it's a significant thing to be doing. And I just made the point that I think contracts should mean something. So if I have a serious conversation with a woman and explain how I'm completely uninterested in making a baby. So if all of our rational efforts to prevent it, you know, condom and spermicide, fails in some way, okay, and you end up pregnant, you will get an abortion. And if we make that agreement under the stipulation that I am quite passionate and this isn't not serious, this is like we're bank robbers and we're agreeing to rob a bank and we agree no shooting, and then somebody shoots everybody. You know, yeah, I'm going to shoot the fucker too. I'm going to say, fuck you, that wasn't our agreement. I didn't agree to go murder people to get into our bank. So fuck you. And I'm saying the law should not say I'm innocent, not in any way whatsoever. The law should say I'm guilty and execute me. I'll do it for them, frankly. But the point is that I was just pointing out how contracts between people about such things should be serious. There shouldn't be some loophole for women where they say, I'm too emotional to be rational. You know, I can't make an agreement. You can't count on my word. It doesn't mean anything. That was sort of the argument in the context of the conversation. Now, would I actually, you know, I've said things in videos where I don't know why they don't use those clips, you know, where I say something like, well, the cops, every time they catch a speeder that's over 30 miles an hour over the speed limit, they ought to just pull them out of the car and beat the shit out of them. So, and it's a win-win, right? Because the cops can get all their, I need to beat somebody up stuff. They can get all that out of themselves, you know, and relieve their need to beat something up. And I have a perfectly good thing to beat up, you know, so I can't fake any kind of empathy or concern for the welfare of people playing Russian roulette with a shotgun. You know, that's, yeah, it blows your head off and 16 people walking down the street. Yeah. You know, too ridiculous, you know. So I can't feign some sort of, oh, wouldn't it be awful if the speeder died? No, it wouldn't be awful. The world is a better place, a safer, better place. Fact. Somebody else has got his car. Everything is so much better. Everything's improved. He's not consuming food and oxygen anymore. Somebody else, some better human being is. So what, am I supposed to lie and say I have some sort of reason to think it'd be a bad thing? If some asshole going down a residential street with cars parked on both sides at 60 miles an hour should fucking die, it would be just such a tragedy? Fuck that. I would be lying. So, yes, guilty as charged. You know, I'm not going to apologize for being rational. I'm just not going to do it. You know, it's just bullshit. The expectation that I have some obligation to share your feign and fake concern. Except if you're speeders, of course, which these people are. So again, you can make so many analogies to these subjects. I mean, it is a fact that it's a perfectly rational for a vegan to see carnivores, okay, who are contrived carnivores, okay? It's clear evolution doesn't say we're meat eaters. Evolution says we are vegetarians. It's just so damn clear. All the other great apes have a minute percentage of psychotic members who once in a while will eat somebody's baby. But other than that, okay, the fact is it's not a real part of diet for simians. It's just bullshit to argue otherwise. Even the smell of a corpse is disgusting to us. Clearly, we weren't eating carrion. I mean, it's just, you know, maggot-infested dead things. It's just ridiculous. You know, the idea of us chewing the hide off an animal. Ridiculous nonsense. So anyway, and clearly, if you have the logical understanding that all of the other animals are nothing but really dumb humans. I mean, it's the same brain structure. It does the same mechanical functions. It smells, it sees, it hears. It's all the same shit, fuckers. All right? And they have real emotions. You can see the little, you know, your cat is sleeping. You can see him chasing a mouse. You can see it. You can see them having adventures. And if I was to say it's cruel for you to, you know, torment a pig, for example, in a little tiny pen, the worst kind of concentration camp imaginable, just a horrible, awful existence, just to be, you know, whacked with a sledgehammer or whatever the farmer decides is, you know, and then if they do it through some ritual, you know, the ritual killing, you know, bleeding it to death. Come on. What are they supposed to be perceived as? I mean, it's criminal based on the basic understanding of what a crime is, you know, to cause a bunch of unnecessary exploitive pain in another organism. You know, and because of a social contract, yes, you're allowed the latitude because you have a majority. But just wait. That's going to run out eventually. Well, maybe, it would run out if we weren't exploiting ignorance and poverty and paying it to reproduce, essentially, rewarding it for its error in judgment. No, because that's it. It's, ignorance is on the rise. Smaller and smaller percentage of the people born are born into anything called civilization. And sad truth. A disgusting truth, frankly. All of these life lovers aren't panicked by. So they're so small in their perception of reality, so small in their understanding of the physical world we live in, they don't even realize that just as they were born randomized, I happen to be this guy that grew up there, that was, happened there, that every consciousness is going to wake up the same exact way. Oh, I've arrived. And now I have to figure out where the fuck I am and what the fuck to do with where I am and where I am. And you're just sentencing essentially yourself to live that meager, yucky, shitty, grisly, crappy life of being born on a pile of shit. And it doesn't scare you. It doesn't bother you. So again, it's just like the white people, with the slaves, looking out their window and not being able to realize if I'm doing that to them now, they could be doing it to me tomorrow, in the sense that I'm going to be born there instead of here. Instead of born in this house, I'm going to be born in that house. Next round, so to speak. Next round of the consciousness adventure. Okay. So yeah, it's not a personal reincarnation. It's a reincarnation of existence. And it should scare you that most people are injected into their existence in an environment where they won't even have the technology to watch this video. Scary, disgusting. And they certainly won't be provided a high school education or any advanced degrees. It's just amazing that the privileged have so little fear, of the deprivation they've been so lucky to avoid. People. I do hate people, frankly. So I guess that's another subject. Yes, I really do hate people. I mean, I've just learned that human beings are lying, conniving, scheming scum. That unlike me, who struggled from my very existence to be good, whatever that is. I really was trying to win a gold star, the good star. You got a good star. You did good. I really was trying to do good. I didn't try to do anything else. Try to be, I just didn't like people stepping on me or stepping through me, being forced to feed their agenda. So I didn't like being told when to do this and when to do that and how to do this and how to do that. But otherwise, I didn't demand anything from anybody else. I didn't tell them how to do anything or how they should be or what they should do. I wasn't forcing them to sing my songs or to dance my dance. And that was my definition of good. I don't get you people. You're just so full of hypocritical duplicity. You're just such conniving, manipulating cheaters in the game of life. Humans are disgusting. So again, that's the story. Is, this whole idea, the best relationships I've had with another sentient organism in my life, I would argue, is with cats. Just a fact. I mean, there's been a couple of humans that are almost as good as a cat, but not quite. All right, well, I'll pause and see if there's any other subject I can think that with all this distortion has been created around. And that's all it is. So again, they're just trying to assassinate the messenger to somehow attack the message. And clearly I've made these distinctions. The subject of effulism isn't my opinion of pregnant women or something. The subject of effulism isn't my opinion on the psychology of child molesters. The subject of effulism isn't when's the right time to gracefully exit your pet. It really isn't. Okay, now there's relation. The subjects have relation to each other. So even that, okay, so right there we got that. That's one of the big subjects, is that they always try to pervert the subject into some idea that effulism means you want to kill things and you want their life to end, when clearly the whole argument is about prevention. And the simple pragmatic concession is that I don't think there's any solution to the animal problem that won't involve a one generation cull. That is, you're just going to have to end some existences. And you just do it as gracefully as possible. I argue that being nuked is about as graceful as it can get, if you do it right. Now, obviously, you do it wrong, it's not so graceful. But do it right, very graceful. I mean, to be departiculated in a millisecond, it will not be much of a sensual experience. I'm quite certain of that. So the argument is that, yes, after there's only a few humans left and they know the agenda, what the script says, they concede that, they got to be the ones to clean it up. And what they can do is they can live their whole life and just set the time bomb, so to speak. They can just put the timer for 10 minutes after I'm dead. And so no humans would have to be killed. If that's the way it has to be for some dopey reason. but they should live until they die of cancer or something? I mean, it's just stupid. It doesn't resolve anything. It doesn't fix anything. So again, the only way you can really pragmatically recognize that if you annihilate the biosphere in one action, it will be a zero as a harmful event. And it's just a fact. If some gamma ray burst comes from some, neutron star somewhere and hits the Earth, we're all going to be dead so quick that you never even knew that you were dying. You'd never gone through any process. You're just lights out and that's it. It's off. The machine is off. Okay? The light switch is off. But again, they want to try to make this into some sort of bloody, irradiated world of horror and nasty. They want to try to pretend that something that isn't being advocated is being advocated. And again, all the effulism theory says is your empathy, okay, and your logic and reasoning point to the fact that you must stop the cycle. If you can find some way to do it, where they all go sterile or some other kind of stuff, fine. There's no objection to that. I'm just being rationally pragmatic and saying you're not gonna find that as easily as it is to construct the mega bomb. The truth is that nuclear bombs, there's no limit to how big you can make them. And so obviously, if you put enough of them inside the earth in the right places, you will make it very hard for anything with a brain to survive. Fact. Yeah. All right. Anyway. It's not the subject. So again, to associate ethylism, the idea of what the prescription is, which is to stop the cycle of reproduction, with what I claim pragmatically is the only realistic solution, is to cheat the theory and to cheat the argument. The argument merely is it needs to be stopped, and you find the most graceful, decent way to do it. That's ethylism. All right. Yeah. So, I'll be back. All right. So, as a finish up, there was a couple of mentions of transhumanism in the comments, and, you know, it's just so funny, an idea. And living forever, you know, some idea of we can cure death. It's, you know, it is just a genetic disorder. It probably can be cured. And then what? It's the simple argument, right? So you go back to, like, the biblical stories. Noah was supposed to have lived 800 years, and yet he only had, what, 9 kids? You know, one every 100 years? You know, and there's no condom, so, I mean, that means he has sex once every 100 years. Pretty hilarious, right? Religion is bullshit, and story is nonsense. But anyway, but yeah, there's nowhere to go with this idiotic crapola that there's this infinite amount of interesting things you're going to do when all it is a soap opera, and you're just saying that even if the soap opera becomes formulaic and it just redoes the same episode over again with different actors, I'll fall for it, right? We can watch the same movie done 6 times and find it interesting because, oh yeah, you just changed who the actors were. You know, that kind of bullshit. And then what is that? I mean, it's so trivially pointless stupid. But I mean, clearly, if people were able to live longer, they can't live longer and have kids while they're living longer. So they have to have kids, and then that 20 years is over, and that's it. They can't have any more. So what were they going to do with the rest of forever? Because they already had too many kids. They already had more than they're allowed to have because they're not going to get replaced. So the population will, you know, expand exponentially into disaster. So you're going to have to deal with this idea of not having kids and finding a life, finding something better to do than play the I need to take care of kids adventure. Now, I've implied that, you know, I think the whole thing is, you know, speaking of child molesting, I think it's all just child molesting. I could never imagine what the fucking function is, this desire to fuck with another little kid and raise it and, you know, turn it into a human being and have some hope it's going to come out all okay. I just can't even imagine why I'd want to do that. Why would I want to worry? An insane worry, frankly. I mean, I would be impossible as a parent because I couldn't ever get past the fact that at any moment that kid could poke its eye out. You know, I gotta watch it. I gotta make sure. Don't let him have a fork. You know, how do you live? How the fuck do these morons live raising something as precious as a human being without it completely sucking every desire to live out of them? I can't even imagine it. So the little tiny bit of babysitting I did, hated it. It's just a worry, especially a real baby. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't even want to, you know. But talking about how I was just a very nice person, right? There was a retarded kid that I used to babysit, and I hated it. I didn't like doing it. I didn't want anything to do with it. And but it was the church lady, and it was just explained that, look, the kid's name was Bobby. He liked me. He didn't like too many people. So it was mostly my hair. The hair just fascinated him. And so I could handle him where other people couldn't. I could get him to do things that other people couldn't. And that was just a fact. But one of the things he did, though, was he would grab my hair and just not let go. And so I'd be stuck because, you know, I got to wait till he gets distracted. And that was what it was really about, was, you know, he has had that kind of severe mental retardation where, you know, he just obsess, you know. It's either happy time, sad time, always to an extreme. There was no in-betweens. Anyway, but yeah, it was really horrible. And I did it for free, and I did it. And, you know, they asked me to, because I was a nice guy, even then. So anyway, so fuck these fucking raggy jackasses who try to win arguments with, you know, quote minds and Photoshop and, you know, completely perverted descriptions of actual events. It's just, but it's a sign of the times. Fake news, fake victories, fake everything. The whole thing has gotten to be so putridly fake. I don't even know how anybody could want to live or want a kid to be raised in this world of bullshit, lies, chicanery, shystery, graft, patronage, cheating all over the place. Why the fuck would you want to have a kid and have dreams of him living in this cesspool of a civilization? Fuck you. Yeah, you're nuts. You're psychotically evil. All right, so anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah. Anyway, so yes, so it's, you know, it's sort of on the subject, just pointing out that the real subject is just the idea of a scientific statement about our reality. We evolved. We are, in fact, land-bound fish, and we can sing and dance because we have a fancier brain, so we can come up with little fake things to do that are important. But it's not much different than some dopey bird that just picks up blue things. You know, human beings just chase tail or chase a fancy car or chase this or chase that. And that's all it is. It's just a program machine full of all this emotional baggage crap. And eventually it's just going to be disabled and then tormented and then killed. And the whole thing is pointless. It's just a waste of pain and suffering. That's effulism. All right. In the very short version. Anyway, so till the next time, animals are people too. That's sort of the subject. They're just really dumb people. And they're not really dumb. That's probably the wrong. They're just undereducated. That's all. That's their only crime, is to be undereducated. You know, because their brain won't allow them to gain language. You know, because they're born functional and we're born unfunctional. And that's a huge difference. And I've explained all of that. But there's reasons you can understand why humans are the way they are. And you can also understand that we're still animals on the inside. And it's just an animalistic mechanism, and you can pretend you're doing something unanimal, but you're not. You're just chasing the next relief from your incompleteness. Yeah, that's all we're chasing, is something to make us less incomplete. Less incomplete. I need something. I need little badges to stick. I did this. I did that. I did this. See, I got this little badge from doing that, and then I got this badge because I did some of that. And it's all you're doing. Yeah. You're just such dupes. Borged, little borged dupes. All right, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Unfortunately, us good people are going to get what you deserve. Yeah, that's the sad, tragic truth. You're going to get what you deserve, but we get it too, and that's the part that's really unfair. You imposers. All right, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.